morning, everybody. To all the fathers that are here, happy Father's Day. Okay, we're going to be back in the book of Ephesians again. Going to be in chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to continue our study here on the practice of believers. And today it's going to be in relationship to spiritual gifts. So our text is going to be verses, chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we just come to you now, Father, and we just want to lift up you as a glorious God, Lord. I thank you for your book that you gave us, Lord, so we can just learn how to be what you want us to be, Father. And I pray that you get me out of the way, Lord. Don't let me say nothing that doesn't line up with your word. Be with us all and guide us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, start out in verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7 says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is also the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, work according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of it and of itself in love." Okay, so back in verse 7, get this out of the way. Back in verse 7, it says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Now, we're gonna be bouncing around a lot, so if you got a bookmark, you can keep it there in Ephesians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 7 through 11. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 11 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal," withal meaning together, "for to one is to give by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the work of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at one and the selfsame Spirit, divided to every man severally as he will." So Paul here, he's attributing the giving of spiritual gifts to the Spirit, okay? And in verse 7 it said, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal," but withal meaning together, okay? And then back in our text said, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Here, Paul is attributing the giving of the spiritual gift to the ascended Christ, okay?
So when I looked at that, I thought, wow, what am I seeing here, Lord? I've seen two parts of the Trinity is what I've seen here. And 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, he's talking about the Spirit. And here in our text, he's talking about the ascended Christ. Okay, so that's two parts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit and Christ, the Son of God. Okay, now in verse 8, it says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So hold your place there, and I want to go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68 and verse 18. Psalm 68, 18. And it says, thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts from men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among us. And then back in our text it said, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Paul here is using an illustration of Psalm 68, in which he says the triumphant warrior is elevated when he returns with a host of prisoners, receiving gifts from the conquered people and distributing gifts to the followers. Okay, so what Paul is saying here, Christ conquered Satan. And all that has conquered us, Christ conquered. That's what that verse is saying. Now, I want to group verse 8 through verse 10 and read 8 again. It says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. So what we're going to do now is we're going to compare several scriptures to see that it's possible to piece what Christ did when he died. Now, folks, he did die. Christ he died on the cross. He died for our sins. But we're going to see what happened when he died. And we're going to see it in Scripture. And immediately after what happened when he resurrected. So with that, let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12 and verse 40. Matthew 12 verse 40 says, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, this is Jesus talking, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus was dead 3 days and 3 nights. How many hours is 3 days and 3 nights? 72 hours. Jesus was dead 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That's what the scripture says. Okay, now what we're going to see from Luke 16, we know that there were two distinct compartments in the heart of the earth at this time. One of them was what? Anybody know?
Paradise.
Paradise, or it's sometimes referred to as
Abraham's
bosom. What's the other part?
Hell.
Two compartments. So before Christ, when a person died before the time of Christ, they had to go to one of these two places. Abraham's bosom or paradise or hell. That's what happened when people died before Christ. Now, let's look in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And this is going to tell us a little more about those compartments. Luke 16, and we're going to read verses 19 through 24. Luke 16, 19 through 24 says, "There was a certain rich man." This is Jesus talking again. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." So we see that Lazarus died. He was carried into Abraham's bosom by angels. The rich man died. He went where? He went to hell. He wasn't in Abraham's bosom, because the scripture says that he looked at that the rich man looked over there and he seen Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And he just asked for him to touch his finger in some water and touch his tongue. So there were two compartments at that time. Now, the Old Testament believers what they did is that when they trusted in God, they went to Abraham's bosom. They could not go to heaven yet upon their death because their sins were not yet paid for. They were waiting for Jesus to die on the cross and shed his perfect blood to pay for their sins. Now, so we know Jesus went down there to that compartment, one of those compartments, and we know it was, well, he was, we'll get there. Let's look in 1 Peter chapter 3, and what we're trying to do is we're trying to see what happened while he was down there. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, "By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison." So during the time that Christ was there, he preached unto the spirits in prison. That's hell. Apparently informing them of their doom. If they probably didn't already know it, I'm sure they did. But he was preaching to them, okay? Now, in 1 Peter 4:6, let's also look and see what he was doing. 1 Peter 4:6, it says, "For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but living according to God in the Spirit." So we know that he went there and he preached. What did he preach? He preached the gospel, basically. You know, the people that had died and went to Abraham's bosom, I think he went there and preached to them himself, of himself. You know, because it took his blood to be shed for them to be able to go to heaven. So apparently Jesus told them the doom in hell, that their fate was, and those that had trusted God Almighty, or those in Abraham's bosom or paradise, the last piece of information that they needed to be saved, which was him. Jesus' blood has been shed for salvation of all mankind, all the way down through history. Okay, which brings us back to our text. Our text was 8 through 10, Ephesians 4, 8 through 10. Read it again. "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, when he went to heaven, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So what he did when he was there, he took those people in Abraham's bosom and brought them. What is it? Verse 9, now that he ascended, he went up, went to the lower parts of the earth. Verse 10, he that descended, he might fill all things. So what he did is he went down to them in hell, and he preached himself to all those people. And then they came back to earth. They walked a little bit around on earth. Then he descended to the Father and brought them with him. That's what it says, captivity captive. That's what that's. Let me read this. I got a little ahead of myself. There he spent some in hell and some in paradise. At the end of the 3 days, Jesus rose from the dead, Father bringing all those in John chapter 20, then ascended or Abraham's bosom. All right. Now, verse 11, it's and some, and he gave some apostles and some prophets. And so that when I did the my first lesson on this, and it was an overview, he had to be a witness of Jesus bodily, because all the apostles, because they were all Jews. The only exception to that rule was who? Paul, crucified. Okay, so it said in verse 11, who are given direct revelations by God to communicate to man. Evangelist is just simply a preacher of the gospel. Now, are you an evangelist? You should be. If you're born again, if you're a child of God, you should be an evangelist. We should all be evangelists, because we should all go out and tell people about Christ. If nothing else, you can tell them what he's done for you. You know, he saved you. Okay, so he gave some evangelists, which we all are, and some pastors and teachers. Now, in this particular verse, Bible, they're separated. So, Paul distinct details spiritual gifts, and that was apostles, prophets, evangelists of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We're in verse 11. The first reason was for the perfecting of the saints. And the third reason for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's all in verse 12. For the body of Christ. Those were the three reasons given for those four gifts. The faith of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the nations of spiritual maturity. To which we as individuals, given these descriptions of and local, in these, I'm sorry, through the local church that we should be striving for. Okay? And one of the reasons is, till we all come in unity of the faith. The third one, unto the perfecting of man and woman, or a woman. Now, perfect here is not meaning that you're perfect. I don't think it is. Someday we'll be there. Right now, I think it means more maturity, spiritual maturity. So, it says unto a perfect man or woman. And the fourth thing is unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Those are the four things that we've seen there. Now, I've had people argue with me about prophets and apostles. You know, some people think that they're still here. You know, and I'm not going to argue with them. But one thing that I see it like back in verse, in chapter 2, in verse 20, it says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The apostles and the prophets are dead. They're gone. They're not with us anymore. Jesus Christ is with us. He died. He was dead for 3 days, but he came back. And he is our cornerstone. The apostles, prophets, they laid the foundation. But their time got over, and we didn't need them anymore. Now we have our Lord Jesus Christ and Savior and his book. Okay, now, let's look at verse 14 back in our text. Chapter 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive us. Now, if over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, verse 1 and 2, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seductive spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrites, having their conscience sheared with a hot iron. And then in 2 Timothy 4, it's basically the same thing, 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away fables, yes. And then in our text it said, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craft. And then if you go to Isaiah 28, it says, Whom shall teach knowledge? That's a question. And whom shall make to understand doctrine? Another question. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Then in verse 10 it says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Folks, in verse 10, it says it twice. It repeats precept upon precept, line upon line, twice. That's meaning Scripture will interpret Scripture. That's the way I see it. So then back in our text, verse 15 and 16 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So in verse 15 it said, may grow up unto him in all things. And then in 16, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So folks, spiritual growth, I think this is biblical, spiritual growth should start first right here in your local church. Now, secondly, I think it's your personal time with the Lord. You know, and the reason I say that is I think it starts here. If you're avoiding the local church, your spiritual growth is not going to be where it needs to be, because you don't get edified if you're avoiding this place. And I'm talking about a local church. You know, your local church, wherever it may be. You know, you cannot avoid that. Now, I know that there's circumstances where everybody can't be at church. I understand that. My mother is a perfect one. She's 93. She loves the Lord. She's saved. But she can't get around. So she can't go to church. So there's always circumstances. But if you can get out and move around, and you need to be a part of a local church. It doesn't matter who you are. That you're going to get edified at the local church. You're not going to get edified at home. Now, I'm not saying you can't grow some spiritually at home. You can. You know, and you should, because you should be in the Word daily. You should have a rhythm for that, and you will get spiritual growth. But you also need to be here, because you're going to get edified here. What did it say in verses 11 through 13? And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what reason? For the perfecting of the saints, you, for the work of the ministry, the church here, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ, for your edification, till we all come to unity of the faith and of the knowledge unto the measure of the statutes of the fullness of Christ. That's what's going to happen to you if you're in church where you need to be. Now, I'm going to say something here, and I might get in trouble. I'm pretty good at that. The way I look at it, when the doors are open, I need to be here. I'm not talking, I realize some of you are the door at night, and you can't be here. But the more there are open, the more you need to be here if you can. And like I say, I understand there is a way you can be circumstances for each and every case. But when those doors are open, if there's any way you can be here and you want that spiritual growth, you want edification, you need to be here. But unto now, in verse 7, and I'm almost done here, it says, but when you became saved, when you became born again, when you became a child, every one of us, you have a gift. And I do agree, it took me a long time to figure out what my name. If we were all one gift, we couldn't edify each other. To make a local church have what giving could be both ways. It could be money. It could be of yourself. It's a blessing. Instruments. We have a lot of people that play instruments singing. I can kind of pantomime it if the piano's playing. I don't have to sing too loud. Down here, that's a gift over there, that piano, or whatever gift of praying. You can pray for that is a special gift. And there's some edified. We come here to get built up. You go out in that world on Monday morning to you come back in on Wednesday, you get edified. If you can come in, you get edified, you get built back up. He go back out on Thursday, and old devil, he just beats you up. You know, and you can be saved. The devil knows he can't get your soul, but he can foul your testimony up. That's why you need to be in the Word. You need to put on the body, the whole body of the whole armor of God each and every day. So, you know, it could be edifying. It could be helping. You could help one another. It could be encouragement. It could be security. That's one of my gifts, is helping out in security. It could be greeting. Folks, you have a gift. You need to exercise it, and that it will edify the whole body. You don't have just a body here that it's got one arm. That's it. You don't have that. You know, God gave us all these limbs in order for it to work. Church is the same way. The body of Christ takes each and every one of us to make this work, and we're going to edify one another by doing that. I know there's certain people I look up to very highly in this church, and it helps me because I know I'm just a dirty, low-down sinner, you know, and I can look around, and there's people I can even go to, you know. So, you know, there's gifts in this church that need to be exercised, and we all need to do that, and I'm very guilty of it myself, not exercising it. So that's my lesson on spiritual gifts today, and let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Father, for your word and what it means to us, Lord. And, Lord, I hope I didn't say nothing that was out of your line, but I believe what I said, Lord, and because you taught it to me. So, Father, be with each and every one of us. Help us to exercise our spiritual gifts that you give us and show us all the way. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.